do it, amen. I went by that Sheets place, got the biggest one they'd sell me, amen. Take your Bibles and find, if you would, 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. I want you to find two passages of Scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and then after you find 1 Chronicles chapter 29, find also 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And just kind of put a marker in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll be going back there, be going back and forth, really, from 1 Chronicles chapter 29 into 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're excited to be here and see what the Lord is going to do. When will it be done? About what?
10:30.
Okay, we're in good shape then. And it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing around this world. Folks, listen, I know it's not an easy time in America. I think it's an exciting time.
Amen.
Come on. I mean, listen, I believe we're so close some days to the Lord coming back. But I really believe one of the things that we need to realize that is key to the Lord Jesus Christ returning is what we're doing for the cause of Christ. And we better get at doing it, amen? And because who knows how much time we have left. We may have 100 years, we never know, amen? But we may have 100 days, you just don't know at this point in time. And so appreciate your prayers for missionaries. Missionaries are struggling. I just want to get your mind settled on something. Missionaries are struggling, folks. Listen, Pastor alluded to it last night. The church here and him and are handling the support for Matt and Adriana, and you know, been getting letters about churches that have to reduce support or drop support. We've lost this year 4 or 5 churches that have had to either, you know, cut your support back or completely drop it. Listen, missionaries that are trying to raise support, think about that. Then on top of that, the economy, you know, it hasn't helped the missionaries overseas. I mean, the dollar right now is probably in its weakest state it's been in years, and so that affects the exchange rate. And a lot of the European countries are converting over to the euro. Listen, I know missionaries in Romania, when Romania converted to the euro, lost 40% of what their money would buy. It's not that they lost 40% of their support. They lost 40% of what their money could buy. And so you're seeing it happen all over the world. And what's a missionary going to do? Now think about this. What's a missionary going to do? He's on the field. I know one missionary right now just got to the field. 6 months after he got to the field, you know, all this happened. And probably 70% of his support is in Michigan. Amen? And you know what happened in Michigan. He lost $2,000 a month support in the last year and a half. Yet he has stayed on the field. He said, "Preacher, I can't come home. What am I supposed to do?" And so it's difficult in these days. But yet, I think we need to, like I said the other night, I think we need to quit focusing on all the problems and start focusing on the God that's bigger than those problems. Amen? And listen, I'll be in Livonia, Michigan, next Sunday, a week from today. No, 2 weeks from today, preaching. And Brother Brown was telling me there at the church in Livonia when all that happened with GM and everything up there and all the auto industry, he had like 17 or 18 men lost their jobs. And so they just decided they're going to get together and pray about it. And so they started meeting last fall. Every Friday night, the men would gather together to have prayer meeting and ask God to intervene. And he said when they started that in September, through that fall, every week, one of those guys either got their job back or got a new job. In the midst of all that terrible economy, amen. See, that's our God. He can do that, amen. And so as we approach today, we ought to approach today with not looking at all that's going on in the world today, but looking at a God that's able to do that and a whole lot more, amen. And I tell you what, I've watched God do that thing. Now look here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I want to show you a couple of things. The Lord just, like I told you the other night, I've been preaching through the Bible on missions and worldwide evangelism, making comparisons. When you come to 1 Chronicles 29, David is basically at the end of his reign as king, his position. He is getting ready to turn this thing over to Solomon. And Solomon's going to build the temple, you know, and you know the story of what happened there. But now watch what happens in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. He said, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, And the work is great. We ought to underline that phrase. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, the work that we're involved in as reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest work that there is on the face of this earth. Amen. There's no greater work known to mankind. I've said this for the last several years. You know what? What you do as a vocation to make money, this brother's telling me he works at Walmart. I mean, listen, the other brother here this week's telling me he works at FedEx and that kind of thing. What you do day to day is your vocation to support yourself so you can do what God called you to do. And that is reach this world with the gospel, amen? Not everybody's called to do it like we are. The pastor is on a full-time basis, but everybody's called to do it in your life, amen? And it doesn't matter what you do, if you're a janitor or secretary or whatever you do, that's not your life's goal. Your life's goal is to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ and do your part in getting this gospel around the world. And God just gives you that job to support you while you do what God told you to do, amen? Because it is a great work. I don't want to get sidetracked or get in trouble. Now watch this. He said, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. What we're doing, what we do with this faith promise and missions giving, whatever you want to call it, people call it everything in the world. But what we're doing, it's not for us. Amen? Now, the immediate beneficiary of your giving are missionaries like these folks that are here this week. But it's really not for them. It's for the Lord. And if you're doing it just for them, you won't successfully do it. You have to do it for the Lord. And we got this misconception in America. Well, if I don't like what the preacher's doing, or if I don't like what the church's doing, I'm going to quit giving. You're not giving to the preacher. You're not giving to the church. You're giving to the Lord. Amen. And if they misuse it, then God will judge them. Amen. Hello? It's not my job to judge them. It's God's job. Amen. I'm getting sidetracked. I get in trouble every time I get here. In verse number 2, he said, Now watch this. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things that be made of gold, and silver for the things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, and onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistening stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Now watch this. And he said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Now, if I understand this passage of Scripture right and understand what's going on, David is saying to the nation of Israel, he said, as your king, he said, I have prepared for the house of God. He said, I have taken what we have collectively put together as a nation, and I have used that wisely and set that aside to prepare for the work to build the house of my God. But now notice what David transitions into. He said, because I have set my affection towards the house of my God, he said, I have taken of my own proper good. He said, I've not taken what we have collectively put together to use for the work of God. He said, I have now take this thing a step farther, and I am taking what's personally mine and investing in the cause. Can I tell you today, folks, that that's what faith promise is all about, amen? It's one thing for this church as a group to maintain this building, do the work that God's called you to do. But you have to go a step farther, and that is take of what's yours, personally. And David sets the example for the nation of Israel. He's about ready to ask them to give. But he's telling them, I'm not going to ask you to do something that I am not doing myself. He is giving them the example of what he is doing. He begins to tell them what he has set aside to give. Hey, folks, listen, can I tell you that that's the way this thing is? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me show you what I'm talking about. When Paul begins to try to encourage the church at Corinth, He says to them, he said, let me show you something. I'm not telling you to do something that other people are not doing. He says, here's the example. You see, in David's life, he set the example. He put it all together. And now you get to 2 Corinthians 8, and Paul says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreating that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, read that verse and think about what David said. David said, because the work is great, and because this is not for me but for the Lord, and because I have set my affections towards the house of my God, amen? He said, now I've taken of my own good to give to the work of God. Is that not what Paul just said about the churches of Macedonia? He said, this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. They set their affections towards God and the work of God and the things of the Lord. And after they did that, then they had no problem giving to the cause. You know why people want to fuss about tithing? You know why people want to fuss about giving to missions? Because their affections are not towards the work of God. Amen? Their heart's not in this thing. Amen? Yeah, but listen, it amazes me. You sit down on a Saturday afternoon and you watch a little football on TV, and it's amazing to me what people will do when they've given their heart to something. Amen? I mean, it's snowing, it's 20 degrees, and these guys are out there with no shirts on, got their whole body painted collars, you know, jumping up and down. Hey, you imagine the money? Hey, listen, I don't know what it is around here, but I had this vision of grandeur of going and watching the West Virginia Mountaineers play football. I didn't realize how expensive it was to go to a football game. You know what they said in there? You can, a family of four can... They had this thing on the website. The family of four can anticipate spending $300 to $500 to go to a football game. Hello? I wanted to go. My wife got into this hockey stuff. She's turned into a hockey nut. So I was going to. I said I'll take her to Pittsburgh to watch a hockey game. Well, now to buy a ticket to watch the Pittsburgh Penguins in the cheap seats in the top of that place is $57 a ticket. Yet they sell that thing out every game. Why? People have set their affections towards that. And what you set your affections toward, you have no problem giving to. Amen? We have a little redheaded granddaughter in Tennessee, and she's starting to talk like a Tennessean, and I'm worried about that. Amen? She needs to talk like a hillbilly. Amen? She got saved. Boy, I mean, God's done a work in her heart. And she was having a little trouble in school. And so I said to her the other day when I was down there, I said, honey, if you not get in trouble and do anything all week, I said, Poppy will take you and get you a blizzard when the week's over. She never got one problem all week. Amen. I didn't have any trouble taking her to get a blizzard either. Amen. In fact, I got her two of them. One day because she did right, and next day just because I wanted to. Amen. I don't have any trouble giving to her because she has my heart. Hey, folks, listen. David's giving us the example. Hey, listen, missions, the work of God, ought to be what's in our heart. It ought to be what we've set our affections toward, what we have given ourselves unto. Hey, we're not giving ourselves to be missionaries. Not everybody's going to do that. But every one of us ought to give ourselves unto the Lord. And when we give ourselves unto the Lord, then giving to the cause of Christ is no problem in our lives. Amen. Now get back here because I got to get going. Go back to 1 Chronicles 29. So David gives the example. And he challenges us. He said, I've set my affections to the house of my God. Now go down to verse number 5 and notice what David now says. He said, for the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And he said, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Got to underline that phrase. Who then is willing? Now David exhorts them. He not just gave him the example, he exhorts them. Are you willing to consecrate your service? to the Lord today? And then you want, it says, and the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the kings work offered what? Willingly. They gave for the service of the house of God. And he talks about what they gave. And they gave in verse 8, they gave with whom precious stones were found, gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord. And in verse number 9, I realized these people weren't Baptists. Amen. Said, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. And he begins to talk about that. Hey, folks, listen. David didn't just give them an example. He exhorted them. He challenged them, if you want to say that, to do what he was doing. And so the Bible then says they offered willingly. I believe, if I counted, it's five times in that passage of Scripture, it said they did it willingly. They did it willingly. You go to the book of Exodus when they took the offering for the tabernacle. It said they willingly offered. Hey, folks, listen. Hey, we ought to be able to do this because we have set our affection towards the house of God, and we ought to do it willingly, not grudgingly. Amen. Go back to 2 Corinthians 8 and notice what Paul then says. And I like that word willingly, because he said in verse 5, he said, for this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 9, and in verse number, you know this verse, verse number 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what? Does that not sound like the people in 1 Chronicles 29? They rejoiced because they got to give, amen. They were excited, they blessed the Lord. Hey, can you imagine what it might do in our churches if Sunday morning when it's time to take the offering, the people say, well, praise God, hallelujah, I get to give. This is wonderful, preacher. Have missions conference twice a year. Hello? I might get a job increase. I might get a pay raise. I might want to increase my faith promise. This is exciting. But why? You know what the reality that is? Missions conference is the worst attended meeting of the year in most churches. You know why? Because we've not set our affections towards the house of our God. And we've not consecrated our service for God. Hey, folks, listen. This ought to be an exciting time. We have the privilege. I'm going to talk about it in just a minute. We have the privilege to be able to be involved in the greatest thing on the face of the earth, and that is seeing people saved. We got done last night. I think I told the church last night. I got done yesterday eating lunch, and my phone had buzzed, and I called on the way home. It was Chaplain Joel Britton, who had just got settled in 2 weeks ago in Fairbanks, Alaska, and his first assignment as a military chaplain. He called to tell me, hey, his first soldier saved. Man, I tell you what, I had myself a Babdecostal fit going down the road, amen. I about run over a truck, and the guy woke me up. He blew the horn at me, amen. Hey, folks, listen. I don't know about you. It excites me. It excites me. I had the privilege a few years ago to go to South Africa and preach for Brother Jeff Demers. Brother Jeff Demers is not just a friend of ours, but he is a missionary that I have, through our faith promise giving for almost 20 years, has been able to invest in his ministry as a missionary. And I had the privilege to walk down there, see what he's doing. I mean, to preach in that ministry. Hey, folks, it's exciting to me to see what God has allowed us to be involved in. Amen. Folks, it ought to excite us today. We ought to rejoice in the Lord because God has given us an opportunity to serve Him. Now, go back to 1 Chronicles 29. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Now watch this. As David begins to talk to us, and he says this. He says in verse 11, now here, read these verses. This to me is just tremendous. He said, Thine, O Lord, verse 11, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. It's all His, amen? Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now, watch this verse. And David says to God, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. I don't know, maybe I'm weird, but that verse, when I read it and realized what David just said, it thrilled me. Because David starts out and he said, okay, God, you're it. You're all power, all glory, all majesty is thine. Everything that's in heaven, everything that's in earth is yours. And then he ends his thing and he said, and who am I that I can offer willingly unto thee? And of thine own, he said, have I given unto thee. Now think about this, folks. Where in the world could you find a God that is so gracious that he owns it all and he gives us everything we have? Amen? You saw, I've had people argue with me, say, well, preacher, I worked to get that. Well, who gave you the intelligence and the health to do it? Amen. God did. Amen. Who created the ability for you to do it? God did. And he said, I give it all. All of everything in heaven and in earth is thine. Now, David said, who am I that I have the privilege now to take what you've given me and give back to you, and then you bless me for doing it? Hello? Think about that. I don't know about you. That thrilled me. Amen. We serve such a wonderful God. And now David gives us an example. He exhorts us to do it. Now he's exalting God and saying, God, look at this. God, you give us all this, and all you ask us to do, we don't even have to give it all back to him. He said, we just have to give part of it back to you. But if we do it willingly, God will bless you for it. Amen? You go to 1 Corinthians 9, and in verse number 16, Paul says this. He said, if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. But in the next verse, he said, if I do this willingly, I'll receive a reward. He said, but if I do it against my will, a dispensation of the grace of the gospel of God has been, or Christ has been given unto me. Hey, folks, listen. He said, if I do this willingly, I get a reward. Huh? Boy, where are you going to get a deal like that in this world? Amen? God says, okay, I'm going to save you. I'm going to take you to heaven when you die. And so when you live the rest of your life on this world, if you'll just take what I have given you and give me back 10% of it as a tithe and another offering for the work of God for missions on top of that, I'm going to bless you and keep on giving to you. No wonder he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Huh? Listen, I could stand here and tell you things that God has done for missionaries that have been willing to do that. One of the missionaries we're working with is going to Australia. He's going to relieve Ken Chapman while Ken comes home for furlough. And then when Ken gets back, they're going to expand the work out into the outback, into the cattle stations, they call it in Australia. And so Ken began to talk to us, and he said, is there any way we can get Justin down here? Justin was only at about 50% of his support. And he said, because I need to come home. And so we prayed with Justin, his pastor, and we consulted with him. And Justin said, I believe it's what God wants me to do. And he made the commitment to go. And in the last 6 weeks since he made that commitment to go, God has just increased his support unbelievably. And he said to me one day, he said, preacher, pray. He said, because we don't have the money to go. I mean, they've been through some trials in their life. The IRS came in and audited him because he was the foreman for one of the largest electrical contracting firms in Greenville, South Carolina, when God called him in to go to Australia. And he left that job to go on deputation. And when he left that job to go on deputation, the IRS called him the next year and said, we're going to audit you. There's no way you can go from making what you did as a foreman for an electrical contracting company to what you reported you made this year. And he said, I can't get him to understand. God takes care of it. Amen. And then after he got that cleared up, His wife fell down, broke her ankle. They didn't have any insurance. The insurance ran out, you know, after he left the job and he hadn't got the insurance. So they got all these medical bills. Yet he just said, we're going to do it. And we were in a church service the other night. Just happened to be together. And the pastor in the church got up there and he said, we want to support this family. And they took him on for support. And he said, now they're one of our missionaries. He said, don't you think we ought to help them buy those plane tickets they need to go to Australia? And the church that night wrote him a check for enough money to buy the plane tickets they needed to go to Australia. Now, God will do that for them. Is that because they're something special? No, because they're willing to give back to Him what He's given them. God will do the same thing for you. If you just would do it and exalt God while you're doing it, amen. That's why he says God loves. Go to 2 Corinthians 8. And I'm trying to tie it all together. Go to 2 Corinthians number 8. Notice what he says. I love the way this all fits together now. And so what does he say? He says in verse number 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. That is, there is a readiness to will, so there may be also a performance out of that which ye have. And he said, if there first be a willing mind, is accepted according to a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, I don't know a lot in my life, but I figured one thing out about faith promise or giving to missions. People say, well, preacher, you know, I've heard people say, well, preacher, I'm told God I'd give him $20 a week to missions, so I sit around all week and wait for God to mysteriously send me $20. Hello? I've heard him say that. I'm looking at him, shaking my head, you know, thinking, you think West Virginians are crazy? Amen. I mean, listen, I heard one lady said, yeah, I was walking down the street and I found a $20 bill laying there. And I said, there's my faith promise. I'm like, lady, you haven't got a clue. Amen. How much faith and trust in God does that take? Very little. Because you get down to the end of the week, you say, well, God, you didn't give it to me. But that verse and what David was challenging him to do was give out of that which you have. Amen? What I have given you, and you take what I have given you and give it back to me, then he said, I'm going to take care of it. And you get to Philippians chapter 4, and what does Paul say to the church at Philippi? And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? And he will. But the promise is conditional on what you do in the previous 8-9 verses. Amen? We want to claim Philippians 4:18 without practicing the first eight verses previous to that. Amen? Or verse 19, whichever one it is. And folks, listen, think about it. And David's exhorting the nation of Israel, this is what you ought to do. Now he said, if you'll do it, and I'm going to exalt God. If you'll do this, God's going to bless you. And folks, you ever think about that? Just think about what David said. He said, who am I? Who am I? Did you ever think about just who are we that God would choose to let us? Are we something special to God? We are special to God because He saved us, amen. But I mean, in the scheme of things, I mean, there's some greater Christians in this world than me. I know that, amen. There's a multitude of them greater than me. There's a multitude of people that have more faith than I have. There's a multitude of people that can preach better than I can. But who am I that God would choose to let me be part of this? I'm just a sinner saved by grace on my way to heaven. And God said, here's what I got a deal for you. You don't just get heaven, but you can have blessings too in this world if you just do what I tell you to do. Amen. I'm going to give it all to you anyhow. Now just take it and give back part of it to me. And you, we act with God like He wants everything we have. He said, I don't want it all. I just want 10% in an offering. And when you do that, God says, I'm going to bless you. And so what's He going down through here and say? He talks about we do it that way. And then He says in chapter 9, He said, and you know these verses, verse number 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudging or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8 is my verse. I love this verse. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The last 7 days, we've experienced something in our family. We've experienced it before, but it's just been fresh to us. That there's days that $1 million can't give you what you need. Amen? But God's grace abounds. My wife called me at 7 o'clock the other morning. And she'd walked in and found her daddy laying in the floor. And I was 7 hours at the best from where she was at. I needed God to help her. And my grace, he said. And he said, and God shall make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things. There's more to this than the material stuff, folks. Our youngest son, Alan, when he came down to see his papaw, I didn't think I was going to get him out of that room. See, he was the youngest one. We moved there when he was young, right beside of him. He spent more time there than the other two. He's a lot closer to his papaw. You could have gave him $1,000 that night, but he didn't need that. He needed God's grace. What you're going through with your mama. Money couldn't fix the situation. God's grace. God's mercy. One of our missionaries, the families we work with, called me from Brazil, and he said, "Preacher, pray, I'm going home. Dad called me. He said, Mom's in the hospital. He said, she's not doing good. Her lungs are failing on her. And he said, they don't know if she's going to live or not. He said, I just need to go home and see him. And he called me the day he was leaving. He said, Preacher, I'm getting back on the plane to go back to the field. And he said, could you please pray for me? I said, yeah, brother, why? He said, I don't know if I'll ever see my mom alive again in this world. Now, what get him on that plane? God's grace. You're going to face some situations in your life that you're going to need just more than money, a whole lot more than money. And God said, I'm teaching you how to get what you need. People say to me, Preacher, this giving to missions is all about money. No, it's a whole lot more than that. It's a lifestyle. It's learning how to trust God and watch the God that you can trust meet your needs when you need them. Amen. He just steps down and said, there. Boy, it's got quiet in this room this morning. Amen. I don't know why. I always seem to get that way in Sunday school, and in church shows up, and everybody just starts smiling at me. Amen. Now watch this, and I'm done. Go back there to 1 Chronicles 29 and notice something. I don't have time to read it all, but there's just so much. And he says in verse 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now I have seen the joy of thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Notice how he said, the pleasure of uprightness, And he said, I have seen the joy of thy people. There's a great blessing in this thing, folks, if we just give it to the Lord. If you read the rest of 1 Chronicles 29, David passes off the scene. You get into 2 Chronicles and chapter 3, they begin to build the house of God. See, this whole thing with David started all the way back in 2 Samuel chapter 24, when David bought the threshing floor of Araunah and offered the sacrifices unto God. And you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, when David began to build the temple, they built the temple on the piece of property that David bought from Araunah. David just didn't start this thing overnight. He began to prepare and prepare and prepare for that day. See, that's what this missions giving is all about. It's us preparing for that day. What day? The day we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a whole lot more than just getting missionaries to the field. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be together. Pray you bless our time together in the morning service. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.